We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How important both lines are. How do you reconcile the idea that there is so much more notable work to be done on both lines?
I'll just recognize where we are, you know, where the situation is. You can't fill every hole at one time, and we're certainly going to do that. We're going to be disciplined in our decision making to make sure we don't get, out of balance, so to speak, for the future. So we're going to make sure that we're always in balance there to make good decisions.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Marshall Harris in for Mully today. That was Matt Eberflus at the NFL owners' meetings talking about the defense and the need to still add some help up front. Offense, the need to add some help up front. I think Dan Wiederer, my co-host on the Take the North podcast, which dropped yesterday, by the way, his report from there, good stuff with Dan. He asked the question, Marshall, when you look at the Bears, we'll get into some of the other things that Matt Eberflus had to say. When you look at the Bears offseason, I want to get your take and impressions of how they approached fixing the defense. I didn't expect them to go out and say, okay, you know what, priority one, let's go replenish our linebacking core. Let's go buy us a middle linebacker, a weak side linebacker, and, then we're going to get to the tackle. I thought it would be the other way around, because I think that's the higher priority.
Well, yeah, you look at last year's inability to get to the quarterback, pressure the quarterback, talk to the quarterback, however you want to put it. They had trouble getting past the line of scrimmage on defense, and that starts up front, as you said. And because Ryan Poles' background as a lineman, the guy running the show, you figured, okay, we're going to build in the trenches. And I was surprised that he did not do it. But I did understand, like, the moves that they made. They were prudent moves. They made sense. And you look at the cap space now, they still got, $11 million more than anybody else? So they still have room to do things. I think they got $38 million in cap space open. They've got, obviously, draft picks they got to make, and maybe trades could still be made. So I don't know, how that's going to play out. But, yes, I was surprised by that, but I'm okay with what they've done. I'm not one to, jump to conclusions on something like this, as big and monumental as this. I want to see it all play out, and then we get to – training camp and we could talk about it.
It does feel incomplete. It does feel like it would be like offering a review of a movie midway through it. And I think in fairness, you do want to maybe reserve judgment and keep an open mind. At the same time, I just am being honest about the surprise level and maybe even the disappointment, because there were some defensive tackles. There were some offensive tackles on the open market that we have discussed and have been talked about that they didn't land or maybe even didn't pursue in some cases. It just, to me, was a surprising way to approach the offseason. Now that they are, a team that signed two linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards, yesterday, as we heard from Matt Eberflus, we discussed this during the pick six, Tremaine Edmonds is the man in the middle. He's the guy that they believe is going to be the middle linebacker. In this 4-3 scheme, we have been historically told the weak side linebacker, the Shaquille Leonard role, was the role where these guys clean up, and we've seen it in the past. In Chicago, was with Lance Briggs. I was a little surprised that Tremaine Edmonds wasn't going to be that guy.
Yeah, I think we all were. I don't think, honestly, you could say, yeah, we saw Tremaine Edmonds playing in the middle. I don't think anybody would say that, but it's not, crazy. That's the thing. I'm looking at him okay, well, yeah, he's a big guy. He's got the wingspan. He could do some things. I'm guessing Matt Eberflus has a very specific thing in mind, because, the hits principle and making plays and causing turnovers and why he wants to play certain guys certain places. And like I said, I'll let that play out and we'll see. I like those two signings, even though they didn't start with the defensive line, just because a couple of things. Even though Tremaine Edmonds has been playing for a long time, he's got a couple of Pro Bowl appearances, he's super young, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. TJ Edwards, that was a bargain deal. So you take those two things in mind, and they didn't sink a lot into the TJ Edwards deal specifically. I think they can get guys, I think there must be guys in the draft or guys that's still out there in free agency that they're looking at and be like, these guys can either be stopgaps or somebody we want to invest a lot into. A
few other things that happened yesterday at the NFL owners meetings that Matt Eberflus said and other things that happened, I want to get your take on. So we talk about the linebackers and the need for them to get defensive tackles still, and that will be an ongoing conversation piece. He also addressed Braxton Jones and the flexibility that he feels like the Bears have in moving him from the left side to the right side. And to me, and I think maybe you heard the same thing, when you are saying that Braxton Jones, your left tackle, who was a revelation last year, fifth-round draft pick, Southern Utah, you don't expect those guys to be your everyday, every week starter from week one at, on the left side. If he's going to move, it says that they are probably looking at an offensive tackle, a left tackle anchor for that number nine overall selection. And that, to me, was a newsworthy admission publicly by Matt Eberflus.
Revelatory in a sense, because you're saying we're probably going to upgrade that position, which no one's complaining about you upgrading. If there's any position no one's complaining about people upgrading that you already have a good guy at, it's left tackle because blindside, all of that. So I'm looking at it now, I was like, okay, so you do have plans here on the line to get even stronger at the tackle position. And if Braxton Jones was as good as he was as a rookie, he's only going to get better health as long as he stays healthy. I think this is good news for Bears fans because it makes you realize that, hey, while they might like Braxton Jones, they think they can do better. And isn't that the whole point? Upgrade, and surround your franchise quarterback not only with weapons, but the protection that he can continue to develop in year three.
So when you look at that number nine overall spot, we had Brad Biggs on Monday, he talked about his mock draft. Broderick Jones from Georgia, he has the Bears selecting at ninth. I think people locally would like to see them take Peter Skoronski. When the Bears traded down to nine, the first thing Pat Fitzgerald said at Pro Day was he thought, Skoronski to the Bears. That was the number one thing. And then there are guys like me who look at last week's Pro Day in Ohio State at Columbus, and I acknowledge being a prisoner of the moment, but Paris Johnson looks like a guy who, as C.J. Stroud said, runs like a tight end, looks like an offensive tackle, and you can envision being a fixture on the left side for years to come for the Bears. I like him at number nine. Do you have a hierarchy in terms of the tackles? Do you think that has got to be the direction the Bears go there?
It doesn't have to be the direction the Bears go there, but I feel like it is because of what was said about Braxton Jones.
So you think that was a tell? Perhaps.
I want to say it's a tell, but I'm not familiar with Ryan Poles' game yet, like his poker face, his
– yeah.
Like we're all learning at the same rate. We're trying to pick up a little things. And Ryan Poles is smart enough to know that everyone's trying to pick up on everything that he says, right? And so I take all of that, like, you know, the stuff that Peter King was talking about. Like, it just makes you really take a step back and say, how much of this is for show and how much of this is him trying to get a message out there to certain people? And I'm kind of intrigued by it, and I want to see how it plays out through the draft. I would not be shocked if a tackle was not taken at nine, but I would be like, yeah, a tackle at nine makes sense if he does take a tackle at nine. So I'm trying to keep my head on a swivel.
Right.
As a guy trying to interpret everything that's going
on.
Yeah,
because you have to, because you know that executives at this time of the year is the lying season.
You got to be coy. Yeah. You got to be all of the things. Yeah, you do have to be able to literally look at somebody in the face and be like, well, we're looking at this. Without saying that you're also looking at that.
Okay, so where are you with this in terms of along the same lines? Ryan Poles talked the day earlier, and for the first time, I feel like when he talked about the risk-reward calculus in a guy like Jalen Carter and drafting ninth versus drafting first, that you have to be – he used the word cautious. He used the word cautious, and I think that was the first time I really stopped to think, okay, the Bears may not take Jalen Carter if he drops to nine – because they're looking for a more of a sure thing, because you can't be wrong if you're Ryan Poles. What did you hear when you heard him talk about the, you know, the care you have to take and the caution you have to exhibit when you're drafting in that spot?
honestly, I just heard more gamesmanship, and like he's not trying to show people his hand, because that keeps all options open, right? And that's what you want to do if you're trying to, from a public face perspective, you don't want anybody to be able to guess what you're about to do. I think if Jalen Carter, now he didn't do a lot at the Georgia Pro Day, and he wasn't. It wasn't great.
He was worse than that. I think he, you know, probably should not have been participating.
Right.
Like, the people around him probably should have acted in his best interest and said, "Not today, Jalen, because I don't care how badly you want to be out there. You're not in the physical condition, and you're not in the mental state of mind to give it your best and to make a strong impression."
And so, because of that, specifically the reaction to the Georgia Pro Day and what that experience was versus what it could have been potentially for him coming off, obviously we know what happened at the Combine and the stuff that he's still dealing with the criminality of the accident. I think if he drops to 9 and you do your homework and you say this guy is a top 5 pick still, you got to take him. Knowing what your needs are, I think you have to. But again, you've got to do your due diligence and the homework on all of that.
I don't think the Bears are in a position to take him.
The
more I think about this, the more I wonder if they feel like, even though he may have been misleading us or being coy, I don't know if they feel comfortable enough about the infrastructure, about the culture they're trying to create but have yet to create, to bring in somebody who has a tendency and a track record of being erratic and has some maturity issues. Now, on the field, I think there's probably no question he would be a guy that is either your number one or two player on many people's draft boards because of talent alone. But when you factor in the other intangibles, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that this regime is willing to stake their reputation on.
Well, certainly not if you listen to what they've preached to this point about culture and all of that. But doesn't every coaching staff, front office, talk about culture like when they first try to set up shop?
Yeah.
And that's why I want to take them at their word.
But how many use acronyms?
Well, probably more than we think.
Yeah, probably you're right.
Probably more than we think. And so because I understand that you say one thing, but it's, I just dealt with this the first day I was at spring training with Rick Hahn and talking about we got to take the risk and we wouldn't have won a World Series if we hadn't taken certain risks. And I get all that. As a person who's doesn't have blinders on and understand how the real world works, not sitting here and pretending to be naive, but and that's why I said, I think if they do their homework and say, we think we can make it, and maybe they don't have the structure, the infrastructure, as it were, to support someone who doesn't know the right way to go about doing things as a young professional athlete. But maybe they do. And if they do, and they think this guy is a difference maker, a top two or three pick, top two or three talent, I think you got it. I think they need help, man. Look, they were tough to watch last year. Maybe that's just me being like, y'all can't get pressure on anybody.
No, they were hard to watch.
And he's a difference maker. And if you're taking an offensive lineman at 9 instead, I understand why and all of that. You still got to tell me where the pressure's coming from.
Yeah.
Right now, as it stands right now, you can't tell me where the pressure's coming from for the Bears.
Because even though you addressed it sort of, kind of, maybe,
he's
not going to make anybody throw an interception under pressure.
Let Lamar Jackson get in the NFC North and see what he's
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lamar Jackson, we'll get to him in a moment. But speaking of franchise caliber quarterbacks, while you're here, I need your breakdown of this conversation and debate. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I said the other day on our Take the North podcast, and I think even here on the Mullen Haas show, that I have seen enough, and all of us can study film, but it's going to be close. Both are great prospects. Bryce Young to me is going to be the better NFL quarterback. Bryce Young to me is going to be a guy that people will look back and questioning his stature will be something we chuckle about because of the way that he's able to execute and run an offense and be the difference maker I think he can be. Where are you on Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud?
I think C.J. Stroud as a college quarterback, like not even dual threat, but just like seeing how dynamic he can be, I think I like him better as a college quarterback than an NFL quarterback. But I think you're right when you say Bryce Young in terms of being able to make the reads, the throws, all the stuff that all the complex things about being an NFL quarterback, I feel like I've seen Bryce Young do more of it over time than C.J. Stroud. Not that C.J. Stroud's not capable. That's right. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're making me pick one, I'm going to take Bryce Young.
Well, okay, you might have to pick one. If you're the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, you do have to pick one. You can't have both.
Yeah.
Who would you take? You're Frank Reich. You're on the clock. Or you're Scott Fitterer. You're on the clock. You're having this meeting, and Josh McCown is in the back smiling and raising his hand, wanting to be heard. He wants to weigh in. What quarterback are you leaning toward if you're the Carolina Panthers?
Well, you know who I grew up rooting for. So I'm going to be like, whoever Frank Reich tells me to take is who I'm taking.
You got the Buffalo Bills stick on you.
Yeah, but listen, not just that. Think about all the quarterbacks that Frank Reich has worked with over the course of his coaching career. And the success.
Oh, boy, here we go.
And lack of success.
The Frank Reich resume I didn't ask for.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, I think I would have to trust him as he's your head coach. He's the guy who's going to be working with this quarterback you take.
That's why he's there.
Why did you hire him?
That's why he's there.
Why did you hire
him? Okay, fair enough. Who do you think he's leaning toward? I know you trust him to develop whoever he takes, but don't you think they're leaning toward C.J. Stroud? I wonder if they're going to look back at that. The way, I don't want to say it's Ryan Leaf versus Peyton Manning and you're going to make a generational mistake. That's going way back.
That's a chasm between those two guys.
I don't think there's that big of a chasm. That's a great word. I don't think there's that big of a gap, but I do think that whoever doesn't take Bryce Young could regret it.
Okay. Yes, I agree with what you just said about could regret it, but I also think Frank Reich, if he says C.J. Stroud, he knows what he's got to do with C.J. Stroud to get him where he needs to be. I don't think that, like I said, the chasm's not that great. There's not this huge, you know, valley between these two peaks. I think C.J. Stroud can be a very successful NFL quarterback, and so can Bryce Young. But the only reason it's not nitpicking is because it's quarterback. It's quarterback.
If the Indianapolis Colts move up to third and trade to take Anthony Richardson, or a team does that, do you think Anthony Richardson is worth a top five draft pick? Because I have my doubts. Again, I see him as an unbelievably gifted athlete. I think he could be a guy that you could convince yourself the way that the 49ers and John Lynch convinced themselves that Trey Lance was worth the kind of draft capital they gave up because of what he looked like, measurables, the intangibles. But I just don't think I would take that big of a risk. Anthony Richardson is almost too raw for me to draft in the top five.
I've seen so many quarterbacks who are now good all-pro, Pro Bowl quarterbacks who weren't drafted in the top five to be like, if you think he's your guy, go ahead and take him. I'm okay with that. But I understand what you're saying. I think if you think he's your guy, you trade up and get him. And it's so funny because recent history is littered with guys that guys trade up to get, and then there's somebody behind. Patrick Mahomes wanted me to tell you. There's guys behind him that end up being much better. So if you see it, that's kind of, as a GM, that's your job. You got to be able to decipher and differentiate and understand that, hey, I'm putting my career on the line with this pick. So if you've got the conviction and you feel like you've got the infrastructure, taking your word from earlier, to make it happen for that guy and not to give up after 1 or 2 years, because quarterbacks can take 4 or 5 years to develop, then take Anthony Richardson.
A couple other things for the NFL owners meetings. George McCaskey says, nah, I'm not really that interested in HBO's Hard Knocks. There are 31 other teams that would make better stories. There's only one Chicago market, though. I wonder where that's headed.
I think it's headed to Hard Knocks being, I would be shocked. They can force them to be on Hard Knocks. If you were a producer at Hard Knocks, who would you want to be on Hard Knocks this summer?
I think the Bears are compelling, but are they good television? Because I think Matt Eberflus looks like somebody who would star in a 70s sitcom. I mean, he's a very conventional, traditional TV dad.
There are a lot of good 70s sitcoms. I just want to point that out.
Okay, I'm just saying. that's true. I know. I just disparaged an entire decade.
The disrespect.
But
is still someone's
Justin
words.
Fields is compelling. Ryan Poles, the Bears have a great story and an opportunity to create even more, but I don't know how dramatic they are, how controversial they are.
I think it would be more of a player-centric Hard Knocks. You're right. The needle doesn't necessarily move listening to Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus talk. I'm not...
I mean, you've been here long enough to know that.
But look, as a producer,
yeah,
that's my job, is to squeeze the juice out of the orange.
Right.
And so that's why I think Chicago is the number three market in the country, correct? Mm-hmm. The Bears are due, correct? Like, in more than one sense. I don't know all the other teams eligible, so let me just say that. But it's hard for me to imagine a better situation.
And the last thing is that, did you see the rules change that allows, and I'm a big numbers guy, maybe get a little bit too kind of preoccupied with the jersey number, but now anybody except for offensive linemen can wear, he's making, if people on Twitch can see, they can wear zero. They can wear zero. I don't know if I like zero. I don't want zero on my roster, on my screen, on the field. Who wears zero, really?
After this show, I want you to walk outside on your journey home before you get in your car, and I want you to look up in the clouds. I think it's a cloudy day, and just start yelling at the clouds, because that's what I'm hearing right now in studio. Who cares?
Okay.
Let these guys wear whatever number they want.
All right, you're right. The first time I see zero on a quarterback, I'm going to roll my eyes.
And you'll get used to it.
He's a notice-me guy. Come on, man.
And you'll get used to it.
Put on 11, put on 4, put on 7, put on something that's
like... Guys who wear the number one aren't a notice-me guy?
I want to stand alone. I have zero on my chest. But hold on. Look at me.
Guys who wear the number one aren't...
One's fine. One's fine. Bring on Justin Fields. I love number ones. Zero? That just makes you feel... No. You're right. I'm probably yelling at the cloud. Nobody cares. I'm just glad they aren't letting offensive or defensive linemen wear zero, because that would be absurd. The height of the absurdity. Okay, we need to switch gears. We're going to talk baseball. We want to talk about somebody who's going to make a bold prediction. Ozzie Guillen. He will join us next. It's Molly and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
Analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My main is La Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No. Pantera.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second. Two out. Palmeiro. Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play. Charging it. Throwing it. And the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No holds barred baseball opinions.
See you later. Good luck, brother. It's still making you money. And go, you know what? Your next career will be WWE. They'll be waiting for you, puppy. And that's pretty soon.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Marshall Harris in for Mully today. Time now to go out to our guest hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Very well. Very happy this thing going to start. Very excited about it.
One day away from opening day, White Sox Astros tomorrow night in Houston. Ozzie, got to get right to it. Loved the preview show the other night with Chuck on NBC Sports Chicago. Loved your boldness. Chuck asked you for a bold prediction. You said Pedro Grifol, manager of the year. Interesting.
Well, it's very interesting. It's making a lot of noise. But one thing I believe what I hear about him, I don't know Pedro very well. I don't think I never met him. But I hear about him, I listened to spring training for last 5 years with the White Sox. Everything is a soap opera. Everything is something. It's a problem. Somebody talking. Somebody prediction is too high. When I hear about the way he goes by his business, the coaching staff he have is very very professional. He only need to win the division. You know what I mean? What a lot of people expect him to win 81 games. The team maybe 81 games is the most. And I think this ball club is going to do a lot better. I like this ball club better now. Well, I like last year. Last year they was loaded because obviously Jose was on the ball club. But I like this the attitude better this year than was in the past. And I think it's, if they let Pedro do what he's supposed to do, go by his business. Remember, Pedro beat this game for a long time. He was a player development. He know every detail about the ball club. He loved details. He loved to play baseball. He loved the little thing. And not just about the home runs. It's not about score 10 runs in one game. It's just about make the plays, run the base right, play good defense, just one hit at a time. Everything I hear from him, he got me a little bit excited about it. And a lot of people say, it's a lot of heat on him. But I believe, this ball club can take him to that spot.
Ozzie, is it as simple as this team just has to stay healthy, or is it more than that? Because people, of course, point to the fact that so many players missed so much time last year collectively. But is it more than about staying healthy?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. You're going to stay healthy. You're not going to have the ball club on the field. But in the meanwhile, besides, with the lineup the White Sox had last year, with the lineup they have last year, I think they could have done a better job. Just because, one thing about it, just because they have enough talent, but besides being healthy, those guys play terrible. Oh, my God. And nobody can say that to me because I'm watching every single day. I have to talk about them every single day. They're not playing good baseball. They just when they have close to win a couple games, they make a lot of mistakes on the field. All those little things, they have to do it. They never did. And that's the reason they was a 500 team. That's the only reason they were a 500 team, because those guys don't do the little thing they're supposed to do.
Ozzie, when you look at this White Sox team and you see Yoan Moncada having lower back soreness, there's a familiar feeling of dread that sets in. When you look at him having to work out today before finding out exactly what his status will be for opening day, it feels very familiar. You are tight with Moncada. You have the best. You're probably the best source of information on him. How should we view this injury? Is it just a blip, or is this something that's going to be the beginning of something very familiar?
Well, I hope it's a blip. I hope it's nothing serious about it. I hope it go out there. You know what? You're going to play with soreness, man. You have to learn how to play with soreness. When you hurt, that's a different scenario. But when you sore, you have to know how to deal with that. No player, anybody in the history of the game go out play on the field without be sore. You have to be sore. Legs, arm, back, sides. And you don't learn to play with that. If you think you're going to be 100% to be on the field, you'll never be on the field. I hope this is temporarily something soreness. It should be ready for opening day. You want to have a rest because he just come from the Classic. But it's a player. I think that some of the White Sox need to handle it better. Oh, my leg is sore. Okay, stay off the field. My back is sore. Okay, let's just give you a couple of days off. I think they got to learn. I think they still have a young ball club how to play with soreness.
When you look at the way that Dylan Cease pitched last year, Ozzie, one of the things I'm most excited about is seeing him to start the season against the Astros. What are your expectations for him, and how can he be even better as he's the guy that's opening? We just heard the third best odds to win the AL Cy Young.
Well, I'm huge Dylan Cease fan, huge. This guy, he go there by his mission the right way. Every time they interview him, they say the right stuff. He's a gamer. It's all about the team, not about him. But I think, to me, the only thing I see the difference, hopefully, I wish he can pitch another inning or two. Five innings is average. Five and a third, five and two-third. You got to jump a little bit better than that. Not just C's either. Everyone in the starting rotation, they got to take the ball and stay a little longer on the mound, because last year it was like, what the hell is this? Because White Sox had a great bullpen, great arms, but when you overuse those bullpen, when you get June, July, and the bullpen is down, they have so many innings, you're not going to make it. And I think the starting rotation will dictate how the pitching is going to be. And C's, I think, going to have another great year because this kid's healthy. That's a very important. And he know how to pitch now. He got more experience, and I expect a lot of great things from him.
Ozzie, Tim Anderson had a great spring with Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. I want to believe there's going to be a carryover. I think he's a guy that's fueled by confidence, and it seems like it's at a very high level as we get ready for opening day. Do you expect a big season from Tim Anderson?
Yes, huge. I wish Tim Anderson listened to what I say and don't get upset, but I think Anderson has to worry about Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson has to worry about him. I think this kid got so much talent, and he want to be so good. And he know he can be very well, very good player. Just stay away from everything. Don't worry about his teammate. Don't worry about anybody. Go out there about your business. Lead the team as example. And I expect him to have a great year. Well, obviously, he's not going to have a worse year than last year. No way. Sort of a few guys in the club. And I think this kid can be very special player for the rest of his career. And because a lot of people were talking, I was the one talking about his defense was very bad. Now his defense is a lot better. And these guys can be, my question is, I don't know why he want to hit leadoff hitter. I think I will put this kid batting fifth, and he will be the RBI guy. Oh, my God, you're looking for some big numbers. But leadoff hitter, I know he like it. I know people like him in the leadoff spot. But I don't know him to be a free swinger RBI guy and to be a leadoff hitter.
Ozzie, we're all, of course, waiting news on Liam Hendricks, the latest on him. But in the meantime, the Sox have to have someone close games. Is there someone you're leaning on to take that opportunity and do something within the ninth inning for the Sox?
Well, it's easy to manage it when you have the closer. Because you take the lead in the ninth, here's my closer. If we lose, hey, it's not my fault. I bring the right guy. Yeah, but that's the easiest part about it. I think they have a great arms out there. I think I cannot say this guy, that guy, because last year was on and off besides Lopez. But I think, Grayman, is the guy to get there because he got the experience, he got the stuff, he got the heart, and he got the brains. To me, I will lean on to him. But it's going to be a tough decision for Pedro because if they go by whoever they got to face, it's hard to make those moves because all the numbers, all the stats, all the things they play with the computers, that cannot get right because all the time, we should face that guy, but that guy not throw the ball well in that particular moment. Then you got to change your mind. But I think Grayman should be the guy. Lopez throw the ball well, but I don't see Lopez yet to be the closer. Closer, you have to be tough mentally. You got to raise the game right away and be ready for the next game. Lopez never had the opportunity, but I think Lopez had the stuff to be the one. But if I want to pick somebody out of there, you got to be Grayman.
Ozzie, we got to go, but before we do, I have to get a quick thought. How hard will it be to see Jose Abreu in an Astros uniform playing against the White Sox?
To strike his butt four times. That's it.
Wow.
By the way, guys, Jose Abreu is going to be outstanding with Houston, okay? He's not carrying the load. He's not going to be the leader. He's going to be the RBI guy. He's around winning players. He's around surrounded by great players with a great manager. I expect Jose going to have a great year. And I got a chip in his shoulder to show the White Sox why you don't sign me. But in the meanwhile, I think we should keep the ball way inside to him, way inside, and make him to chase the slider. Don't be afraid about Jose. Worry about Alvarez and worry about the rest of the guys. Don't worry about Jose.
Great stuff, Ozzie. You're the best. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Ozzie Guillen, our baseball expert and NBC Sports Chicago's biggest reason to watch those games lately, pre- and post-game with Ozzie and Chuck. This year the games may live up to the billing, but great stuff from Ozzie.
The man is unfiltered, and that was one of the things that I looked forward to after things went wrong for the Sox in any particular game is getting to hear Ozzie's thoughts.
From one Chicago legend to another, we will talk to Chris Chelios when we get back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Marshall Harris from CBS2 in for Mully today. Just talked to Ozzie Guillen, trying to connect with Chris Chelios. We'll see if we can hook up with Chelly because the Jonathan Toews news is pretty interesting. Jonathan Toews, if you missed it, 14 minutes yesterday, talked about the likelihood. Sure sounded like a guy, Marshall, that knew the end was near and was bracing people for, you know, whether you want to call it one last shift, one last game, but a farewell, and it should be a fond farewell for Jonathan Toews. Looks like he may be closer to retirement. The Daily Herald reported last week that he was likely to retire at the end of this year, and nothing he said yesterday really made anybody expect anything different.
It was almost like he had the kind of one day at a time, one practice at a time, just trying to get back into game shape to be able to take that last shift. So at first I thought he was talking about farewell to the Blackhawks, but then the more you listen, you're like, oh no, he might be done, period, playing hockey, which makes sense given the health issues that he's had.
Yeah, he has been through a lot, and it has been 2 months to the day since his last game when he got back on the ice just to practice, and seeing him, you know, maybe just sound as open as he was about what might happen next, the uncertainty surrounding that. So it's one of those things that you hope for the best, but you understand that it's likely, and maybe the best thing is for him to step away. He's somebody that has had a very physical career. He's had some issues in the past. He also dealt with some concussions earlier in his career, but now it just seems like he had a hard time articulating what was wrong with him, but he knew something was wrong with him.
And when he was talking, the thing that got me and made me realize, oh, okay, this is more than just, you know, trying to come back and play for the Blackhawks this season. It was like an open reflection, and that's why he was almost having trouble articulating, because he was letting it all hang out, if you will, and trying to explain it.
So the Hawks have been hard to watch, and now they are the race to the bottom. The Connor Bedard sweepstakes are well underway. And, you know, the final 9 games or 8 games or so will be a daily checking of tankathon.com, which I'm sure you are, you know, already well-versed, as, you know, everybody in Chicago is. So as somebody who has, you know, seen this season unfold, and you do have some hockey in your background from the great state of Alabama.
Yeah,
although I didn't expect the South. That. Yeah, so how would you describe Chicago as a hockey town in your experience?
It's funny because people ask me like to compare like Chicago, Philadelphia in a lot of different things, but like the hockey thing, it's like I haven't seen good hockey in Chicago, so I feel like it's unfair to try to describe
That's
it a as
point.
A hockey town.
Yeah,
like I haven't seen a lot of good anything.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the Bulls. No, follow me on this. I'm just going to lay it out for
you.
No,
you're right.
I've seen the Bulls make the playoffs, not the play-in, but the playoffs, and get waxed by the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I've seen the White Sox make the playoffs mm-hmm. and get thumped by the Astros. You know, I've seen some things, but, like, it's not been.
Bears had a historically bad year.
His most losses in a season in franchise history.
The Hawks are rock bottom.
At rock bottom.
The Cubs are rebuilding, but we don't know what.
And like we know it's a rebuild. Like it's.
Maybe it's you.
Taylor Swift wanted me to let me know.
Maybe it's you.
I'm the problem. It's me. Yes.
Taylor Swift, she won another couple awards the other night.
I'm sure she did.
Are you not a Swiftie?
She wears nice dresses. That's what I was told. Yeah, no, I don't.
She's a great songwriter, not a good songwriter, a great songwriter.
Like, she's a great poet. Like, she's an artiste. I'll give her that. I'm just not as big a fan of her music as maybe.
That's
some
okay.
Other people. I don't want her fans to come after me. Or anything.
I am.
I'm
not,
sure the Venn diagram is very strong. Listeners and
I know
fans.
We're exactly a big crossover there. I wanted to before we move on too far. Ozzie Guillen suggested something when we just talked to him. I want to get to before I forget to. Tim Anderson batting anywhere but leadoff in the White Sox batting order is not something I had considered. It's not something I necessarily even like. But Ozzie saying it will make me think about it.
You're intrigued, aren't you?
I am very intrigued because the days of let's get our fastest guy and hit him leadoff, they're long gone. I mean, they've been gone for a while.
They might come back.
Well, you're right because of the rules changes. What do you think about moving Tim Anderson out of the leadoff spot?
Okay, my question, if we had more time, is like, well, who do you want to bat leadoff then? I guess that's, do you just bat like the guy with the best on-base percentage / sees the most pitches leadoff?
I'll tell you what, Andrew Benintendi, when he was signed by the White Sox in free agency, I think it was Bruce and I, Bruce Levine and I on the Saturday morning show inside the clubhouse, I think Bruce said that immediately he thought of him as possibly a leadoff guy.
Okay, and so you hit Anderson second?
I think Ozzie was saying fifth.
That's too far down. Here's why. I think your best hitter should hit two or three. Unless he is just like a guy who gets
on base.
Who
do you consider the White Sox's best hitter? Right now, Pedro Grifol has Benintendi batting third. And so I think there's a lot of different ways you could look at this. And I think they have a luxury of doing that. But I would think Andrew Vaughn has... You could suggest him batting second, and I don't think it would be a crazy idea.
Maybe he might be their best hitter. Luis Robert also might be their best hitter if he plays
when healthy.
Yeah,
I mean, how many games? If I said to you, okay, Marshall Harris, 120 is the number.
I'll take the over. I'll take the over.
I'm Luis Robert
this season.
Wow, you're a lucky man.
I'm being optimistic. Look, You're asking the wrong guy. I'm a fan of the team.
Okay, Mr. Birmingham Baron.
Listen, no, but seriously.
Where's
like,
Colson Montgomery going to play this year?
If you can't play 3/4 of the season, that's tough.
Let me ask you the same question about Yoan Moncada. 120. Over, under.
It's opening day, and we don't know if he's going to play. I'm going to take the under.
Okay. Eloy Jimenez. See, as a DH, I think I'll take the over.
I'll take the over because, yeah, he might play some right field, but... Yeah,
but
yes.
Some people consider me the Eloy apologist, at least some of our listeners who like to call
What are you when you apologize, what are you apologizing for? His lack of availability?
I've always seen the best in Eloy. I like him. I want to see him have success. He's the easiest guy in the White Sox for me to like.
His smile and his disposition generally would lead you to I can see why you feel that way.
I've said that if he stays healthy, can be a star. If he stays healthy, he's a 35 home run guy. And we have certain callers out there that tend to give me a hard time about having a little bit more optimism.
They're calling from Missouri.
Exactly. Show me.
Yeah, exactly. They have not been shown. They have not been shown.
All right. That's it's interesting. I wonder if that struck a nerve with some other people or stood out. Very interesting concept to bat Tim Anderson anywhere but first.
You don't feel like that's burying him? Like
in Ozzie's world, he would be driving in runs because he would be hitting for average with guys on base. So I get the theory. I get the premise.
Pitchers
don't
hit, and they never did in the American League. So, like who bats ninth? Elvis?
Elvis Andrews. Elvis is back in the building batting ninth.
So if Elvis is batting ninth, like there's going to be guys. The only time there's not guys on base, if your team is good, is the first time you hit. That's what I would argue.
Okay, that's a good argument. I wonder if other people have a counter to that. 312-644-6767. We'll keep the conversation going with Marshall Harris in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.